I'm Alan McClellan. I'm here with Paul Schultz and Zachary Colby from Cantus. And we're excited that Cantus will be on WCRB in concert. And we wanted to have a bit of an introduction to the program and also to Cantus. So you guys have auditioned to be here, but you have been in this group for how long, each of you? Paul?
Yeah, so this is my fourth season singing tenor.
And my fifth season.
And you're both tenors.
Yep.
And this program is a program you've been touring with this year. And can you give an outline of the broad picture of it? Because there's a kind of an idealistic view,
might say that. So Cantus' vision statement is to give voice to shared human experiences. And so we like to program our shows kind of narratively, and so have a theme or a narrative that we're bringing pieces of music to. And so for this one, it's called Alone Together, and it's exploring and reflecting on the idea that in this technologically advanced and connected world, we've never been closer to each other in so many ways. All of us seem to be searching for real connections, and it almost feels like we've never been more disconnected in reality. So kind of this juxtaposition of those two ideas. And it came out of an inspiration from one of the pieces we're performing, which is David Lang's Manifesto, which we commissioned a few years ago, which kind of reflects on this.
David Lang, an American composer, and have you done works of his before, or how did you find him?
Yeah, you know, I think the ensemble had been a fan of his for a long time, and we had a opportunity one year to do four different commissions, and we love to do a lot of commissioning if we can. And so for this piece, David's text, he went onto Google and he typed in his search bar, "I want to be with someone who," and then if you do that in Google, you'll notice that before you hit enter, there's a whole list of things that comes down for what people usually complete that sentence with. And so he took maybe the 15 most common answers, and that is the text to the piece. So it's, "I want to be with someone who won't get tired of me, who loves me for who I am," and it's all these, and it's kind of funny in some ways, but then quickly you realize, oh my gosh, this is kind of devastatingly beautiful and universal, and it's haunting in a way, and it really inspired the show for us.
That's Paul Schultz. Zachary, I wanted you to give me an idea of your broad range from, because you guys go from Lennon McCartney through to new music by people like David Lang, and I believe Libby Larson is also on the program.
Yeah. So we think that in our programming process, that if something was written 200 years ago or whatever, and it's paired and juxtaposed perhaps with something that's newly composed or composed specifically for this evening, it really adds strength and power and does show that human spirit and that we really aren't that different from people from long past. And so it really brings power and strength to our programming as well as shows off our artistry. Many singers don't go to school to learn how to sing Lennon and McCartney and also Josquin, but here we are.
Doing our best.
Yes.
And I think it's marvelous to have that juxtaposition because writers have, down through the ages, have thought about those things, the distance between people and the closeness as well. So take me through the program just a little bit. We start off with
a song called She by Laura Mavula, who's a British singer-songwriter. And it's an arrangement that the group put together. But it's a beautiful song that kind of reflects on the main theme of the show.
Yeah, I think a lot of this program dwells in this like strange isolationism and where you're experiencing these really intense and quite profound emotions. And we don't have a forum to really connect with people in that way. You know, Facebook and Instagram are these curated pages where everything looks sunny and beautiful and you have to look successful and, you know, what beautiful sandwich are you eating and how is the light hitting it? And, you know, there's not necessarily a forum to talk about some of the more hard parts of life. And so it's kind of that sort of inner struggle. And I think we get that in a lot of some of the first pieces, certainly. But it's really kind of exploring that sort of problem. Maybe we should at least mention the structure of the Libby.
Yeah. So we had an opportunity to commission Libby Larson, who's one of our favorites. She's a Minnesota native and prolific and really well-regarded composer. And so we had an opportunity to do a five-movement commission from her, which was a grant we received from the Music Accord Commissioning Consortium. And so it kind of outlines our show. It's called You, It's titled You, and she uses poetry of Emily Dickinson and Edna St. Vincent Millay. But it's a reflection on these themes. I mean, we were really fortunate to be able to commission her specifically for the show we wanted to do, which was really quite a privilege. And so, yeah, I think she calls it what something beautiful. It's like the essence of human being, or what was it? Is that it?
Yeah, the art of human being.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's a challenging piece, certainly, to perform, as we've discovered. It's also, I think, challenging for the listener. There's some parts that you really have to be tuned in intellectually. But then out of that will come just gorgeous moments of melody that you maybe didn't expect that are arresting, I think, with that contrast of some of that more intellectual writing toward the beginning of the pieces.
And lo and behold, right next to a setting of Emily Dickinson or Edna St. Vincent Millay, we have things like Arcade Fire's Deep Blue, which discusses the infamous chess match against the computer, of course, and things like Ingrid Michaelson singing about the approval that people get from posting Twitter comments. So it really keeps on kind of pushing that feeling of look at these people who didn't experience Twitter, but right. Emily Dickinson understands.
And she didn't experience Twitter, for sure. But and the piece is just called Twitter, right?
Twitter song, yeah.
And then where do we go from there?
So we open the second half with, the infamous Beatles, She's Leaving Home. And it's sort of a discussion of a young girl who's decided to leave home because her parents don't understand her. Mm-hmm. So it's really kind of a nudge maybe at the internet age and that generation of feeling, like millennials are ruining society and we're not buying houses and we're not buying ketchup or whatever the next thing is we're not buying. But it's really a kind of a meditation on that to open up that second half. If the goal is to connect with people in real life, the sort of social media machine and the internet age has made that really easy. And of course, there's Match.com and all of these amazing platforms. But the listener is kind of surprised, I think, by Stephen Sammet's We Two, which is a movement of five pieces that we actually have split up in this concert. But it's those jolts of real human feeling with another person looking into their eyes and discovering so much about yourself and that other person at the same time. It's a shocking feeling, and I think Whitman certainly understood that as he kind of was experiencing a very different situation. But I think they're so poignant in these settings by Stephen Sammet's.
So these are Whitman poems set by Stephen Sammet's?
So you kind of have those juxtaposed with David Lang's Manifesto, where that narrative voice is yearning for some kind of connection with a real person and stuck on by themselves, Googling as David got his text.
There seems to be just an infinite number of possibilities and different ways to look at this this theme. I think it's a fabulous theme.
Yeah, we've had really strong response from audiences on the road. It's been gratifying and a pleasure to get to connect with audience members afterward. And people are taking away different things from the show, but I think it is really relevant for what we're challenged with today with our problems that the world's presenting us, especially as it ties in with mental health and I think really isolation. And so people it resonates with pretty much everyone, which is really beautiful.
And I think the juxtaposition of this material also helps our audience members who generally are over 50, over 65 plus, to really understand where we're coming from as mostly millennials. My grandmother maybe doesn't understand what Match.com is or what Twitter is, but she certainly can identify that loneliness.
And there's music on the show for her
absolutely.
That she can understand.
Yep.
So where do we go from there?
Yeah. Well, we're kind of towards
the
end.
So the We Two really is the final piece in the show, and it ends with that relationship that Walt Whitman is writing about. It ends in joy and ecstasy, and so we're able to leave the listener on a really powerful note, Stephen Sammet's note. I think the show ends with hope and. And we try not to tell our listeners what to think. But I think, this isn't supposed to be a depressing show. It's definitely about personal reflection and ways we want to move forward optimistically.
I'm here with Paul Schultz and Zachary Colby of Cantus, and I just wanted to, in a more general sense, get you guys to tell me what you personally get, as much as you want to say, personally get from singing, just in general.
I think for me, it's really a privilege to get to make music with people you respect, and at this level, it's really fun. But the beautiful thing about Cantus is that we're all in charge, and there's no centralized music director, so we get to make these decisions together. And so when you're on stage, there's just a really high level of buy-in and the trust that you share with your colleagues. And so you're able to invest emotionally in pieces and be totally vulnerable with these people, which is a beautiful privilege. And then to get to share that with so many audiences is a joy every night. And sometimes you forget that, but it's important to be reminded and to remind yourself of that, because it is really, truly a privilege.
That's Paul Schultz. Zachary Colby, do you have an answer to that same question?
Yeah, this is my fifth season, and I trained as opera singer, and there aren't many places that singers are allowed to be artistic directors, and we're not necessarily creating a message or creating a program to speak to something. We're often replicating, you know, a performance style, or we're doing what a conductor wants us to do. And that's great. That's part of the model that we sign up for. But this experience is so liberating because it allows us to express something that's more than just interpretation. You know, it's taking an audience on a journey and allowing us to open ourselves up to an audience in a really intimate way.
It seems like this is a program just perfectly designed for that kind of intimacy between audience and performer. So, wow. Well, thank you both so much, Paul Schultz and Zachary Colby, for coming and performing in Boston and for talking to me today.
It's our pleasure.
Thank you for having us.